Hey everyone, good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome once again to our online worship experience here at Toronto City Church. As I say pretty much every week, I wish you were here with me in person. I'm so looking forward to when we get back to that context, but it is what it is right now. And we are going to just take advantage of all that God wants to do in the season. And before you know it, we're going to be back together. And even in this month, as we are talking about hope and we're talking about the thrill of hope, right? God wants us to have so much hope in this season. And so let's dive into the Word of God today. I'm so excited to continue this sermon series, The Thrill of Hope. And I want to talk to you more about hope. I want to talk to you more about the hope that we have in Jesus and the hope that God wants us to be walking in today. You and I are called to rise up in hope in this season. And so let's pray. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity I have to teach your word today. Lord, I thank you that your word is living, it's active, it's powerful, and that it is going to speak to us today. It's not so much what I say that's going to make an impact, but it's what you say to people through what I say. And so, Holy Spirit, we welcome you even in this online worship experience. We welcome you wherever people are, wherever they're sitting and watching. Just fill that space, fill that room in a fresh way and minister to us in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you. We're not just going to be hearers of your word, but we are going to be doers in the name of Jesus. And everyone agreed. Said, amen, amen, amen. All right. Well, let's start again in Zechariah 9 verse 12. This is one of our core texts as we're talking about the thrill of hope. And it says, return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. The Message paraphrase translation says, come home, hope-filled prisoners. This very day I'm declaring a double bonus. Come on, somebody say double bonus. A double bonus. Everything you've lost returned twice over. And so just a brief recap of where we started last week. And just, I wanted to repeat this word because I feel like this is a word from God for us as we head into the new year. It's just that, yes, 2020 has been a challenging year. 2020 has been very difficult for many of us in a multitude of different ways. Just as in this chapter of Zechariah, in this passage of Zechariah, the children of Israel had gone through not just a difficult year, but a difficult 70 years and more. But in the midst of this, God is calling us to be prisoners of hope. He's calling us to be people who are filled with hope, and he's called us to be people who are captivated by hope, who have been captured by hope. And his word to us as we come into 2021 is everything you've lost, I'm going to give you the double. I'm going to give you double for your trouble. And I don't just say that to be cute. I'm not just saying that to rhyme, even though it is kind of nice when something rolls and rhymes like that. But I believe that's the word of God to us. And we need to stir up our hope because God has given us double for our trouble. Now, what is hope? Well, we talked about this again last week. Bible hope is not a weak kind of emotion. It is not just I hope something's going to happen. But Bible hope, as Steve Backlund said, is a joyful, confident expectation that good is coming. Bible hope is a joyful, confident expectation in our hearts that God is with us, that God is good, and that good is coming into our lives. And so what I want to do today is I actually want to take one verse that talks about hope. I want to take one key verse that talks about hope, and I want us to meditate in it together. I want us to dig in and break it down and let God speak to us more and more about the thrill of hope in our lives, about being prisoners of hope, of what he has for us about hope in this season. And that verse is Romans 15:13. I'm going to read it to you from the English Standard Translation. And that verse says this. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Isn't that good? Let me read that to you again. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Now, come on, let's unpack this verse for a little bit today as we talk about hope. The first thing I want you to see is this phrase that says, may the God of hope. I want to encourage you today that God is a God of hope. You know, I know, and it's very true and very theologically correct that we're familiar with God being love, and that's good. We're familiar with that God is holy, and it's so important that we recognize that. We know that God is wonderful, and God is marvelous, and God is glorious, and God is omnipotent, and God is righteous, and God is mighty. Going a little gospel on you. Whatever way, there's so many adjectives that we could bring forward. There's so many things that the Bible teaches us about who God is, and each part of it reveals part of his nature, part of who he is. We know even if we go into the Old Testament, we know that he's Jehovah Jireh, he's the Lord who provides. He's Jehovah Nissi, the one who is our banner of victory. He's Jehovah Shalom, the God who is our peace. We know that he is Jehovah Ra, the Lord our shepherd, right? There's all these things that we know that God is, but and each one of us need to grow in a revelation of God's character in each of these areas. But my question today for myself and for you is, do you know God is the God of hope? Because the Bible says so clearly here that he is the God of hope. He is filled with hope. He is overflowing with hope. He is always hopeful. Right? He is never not hopeful. He's never hopeless. He never has a low level of hope. He never gives up hope. Right? He never gives up hope in us. He is the God of hope. Guys, and so this is the starting point when we're talking about being prisoners of hope. We're talking about being the thrill of hope. It doesn't start with us. It doesn't start with just us trying to have a greater effort or trying to kind of force ourselves to be more hopeful or get ourselves. No, he is the God of hope. He is the God who is filled with hope, and our hope is found in him. See, we have hope in him, right? That's the foundation right there. Remember, we talked about last week, it's the power of the gospel. We don't have to try and be hopeful in ourselves. He is the God of hope, and our hope is found in him, and in him we have hope, right? Do you catch that? Our hope is in him. And then in him, we have hope. He is the God of hope. Come on, somebody say where you are right now. Say, he's the God of hope. He is the God of hope. So that's the first thing I want us to see about this verse. The second thing I want you to see about this verse is it says, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. We may abound in hope. Let me encourage you today, if you are a Christian, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you're a disciple, if you are a son or a daughter of the Most High God, normal for you, everyday Christianity, you are called and you are supposed to be abounding in hope. We are called and we are equipped. It's the most normal thing in the world for us as Christians. It's supposed to be normal anyways that we abound in hope. Now, I know that's not always the case, and often it's not the case, but according to the scriptures, he's the God of hope, and then he wants us to abound in hope. Come on, somebody say it where you are right now. Say, I am supposed to abound in hope. Now, what does the word abound mean? The word abound means, number one, to have in large numbers or amounts, right? You are supposed to have I don't know if a number quite works, but you're supposed to have a massive amount of hope in every area, in every situation in your life. Abound also means to be preeminent or to excel. You are called to excel in hope. You are called to be excellent in hope. That's excel, to excel, to be excellent. We are called, and it's normal in Jesus to be excellent in hope. Abound also means to excel more than or to exceed, right? You know the scriptures where it talks about we're going to have exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think? Well, that applies to hope just as much as other biblical things. You are supposed to have in Jesus, you and I, that it's there for us exceedingly, abundantly, above all we can ask or think, this exceeding hope. And abound also means to make abundant or excellent, that we are called to walk in abundant hope. Part of the abundant life that Jesus came to give us, right? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life in abundance to the full till it overflows, John 10, verse 10. Part of that abundant life is to have abundant hope. Guys, followers of Jesus should be the most hopeful people on the planet Earth. Can I say that again? As followers of Jesus, it is the most logical and normal thing. If we understand him, we understand what we've been given, we understand who our Father is, Christians should be the most hopeful people ever. See, normal Christianity is abounding in hope. Now, let me stop with that for a second, because I know some of you are listening and you're realizing, man, well, I don't have a lot of hope, and I don't know a lot of Christians with a lot of hope. Although let's not use that as our standard. Let's not look to our experience in our current Christian culture to be our standard. Let's look to the Word of God to be our standard. And so normal Christianity is abounding in hope, right? Normal Christianity is being filled with peace. Normal Christianity is walking in the love of God. Normal Christianity is being filled with joy, right? Normal Christianity is having the fruit of the Spirit manifest in our life. Normal Christianity is signs and wonders and healings and miracles. Just because we're not seeing it doesn't mean it's not normal. God's calling us back to normal, right? Stop being weird, right? It's weird to be depressed as a Christian. Now, I know some of us are. Actually, let me make sure I rephrase that. I'm not trying to say you're weird if you're depressed. But what I'm saying is that's not what God meant to be normal, right? We think it's normal. We think it's that. Sometimes we look at it, we think, well, it's weird to be so filled with hope. It's weird to this. No, that's normal. That's what's normal in being a follower of Christ. My heart is this. I just want you, because a lot of the things that are supposed to be normal, we actually think are strange, because we've just kind of grown up in culture. This is normal Christianity. It's normal Christianity to be filled with hope. Here's a good challenge to ask ourselves. How hopeful am I? Right? How hopeful are we? Right? As I was praying and meditating even this series, I thought, man, I started to see areas of my life, I'm not very hopeful here. Right? I'm not very hopeful here. Am I filled with joy and confidence that good is coming? No, I get caught up in frustrations, or I get caught up in just being down about something and not being hopeful. But see, God says you are called to abound in hope. He is the God of hope. And you and I are called to abound in hope. Yo, catch this. Right now, we're in a world that needs hope. I mean, this was always true, but even now, it's more than ever apparent to people how hopeless things are. Do you know that one of the greatest witnesses of Jesus Christ that we can live out today in this day and age, in this time, is just being filled with hope? Right, you go into work, or you log into work, depending if you're doing online, you're just filled with hope. You're interacting with people, you're filled with hope. People around you are just depressed. They're discouraged. They're like, I don't know what's going on. They're frustrated, they're angry, and you're filled with hope. That's one of the best testimonies of Jesus. But guys, that's normal Christianity. That is what we are called to live in, and that's what we're called to walk in. You and I are called to abound in hope. Come on, say it right now. Say, I will abound in hope. You are called to abound in hope. So in this passage, number one, we've seen that God is the God of hope. And number two, we've seen the call for us to abound in hope, right? That abounding in hope is normal Christianity. And so let's look at the third thought. It says, so we abound in hope. It says here, we abound in hope. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Right? We are going to abound in hope. So God's the God of all hope. You and I are called to abound in hope. We are going to abound in hope, not in our own strength, not our own ability, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. Guys, this whole element of hope, because I know this study has been challenging for me. This study has convicted me, because I've really looked at myself and said, how many days go by where I'm not abounding in hope? Where I'm not filled with hope, and yet that's what God's best is for me. But then I realize, because what I tend to do is I'll start going down the pathway of, okay, well, I suck at this, and I'm a terrible Christian, and I just need to do better, and I'm going to try to get better. Well, listen, it's not like you choose to feel hopeless, right? It's just the enemy comes in. There's stuff that gets in there. It's learning to say, okay, God, how do I depend on you so I can begin to abound in hope? How can I grow and abound in hope? And it's going to not be by might. It's not going to be by power, but it's going to be by my Spirit, says the Lord. We abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Right? Again, let me remind you, this is the power of the gospel. This is the power of what Jesus did for us. He said, listen, you cannot live good enough on your own. You cannot save yourself. Your righteousness is like dirty rags compared to mine. You don't have what it takes. So I'm going to come, and I'm going to live, and I'm going to die, and I'm going to rise again. And if you will put your faith and trust in me, I will give you my righteousness for your sin. I will give you forgiveness. I will give you my strength. I'll give you my grace, right? It's the great exchange that happened at the cross. Well, in the same way, if he's the God of hope, and we are hopeless, then what he says is, listen, put your faith and trust in me. Allow yourself to be filled with the power of my Holy Spirit. Why? Because that's how you're going to abound in hope. You don't have to try and create hope yourself. You receive hope from the God of hope through the power of the Holy Spirit when you yield to him. You know, Jeremiah 31 verse 3 says, this is the covenant I'll make with the people of Israel after this time, declares the Lord. And this is prophetic about what he's speaking. I'll put my law in their minds and write in their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. Right? That's new covenant. New covenant is, he said, listen, you don't have what it takes to keep it in your own strength, but I'm going to come by my Spirit. I'm going to put it in your mind. I'm going to put it in your hearts. In other words, I'm going to change your heart so your heart aligns with what I want to do. That is the power of the gospel. Well, in the same way with hope, be encouraged today. If you're listening, you're going, I just struggle. I feel so hopeless. I feel whatever. Listen, you don't have to do better. You just have to depend more on him and reach out to him, but trust the power of the Holy Spirit. If the power of the Holy Spirit was what causes me to bound in hope, then I just need to spend more time with the Holy Spirit. I need to be more yielded to the Holy Spirit. I need to walk in the Spirit and not walk in my flesh. Why? Because as I walk in the Spirit, I'll walk in hope. You know, just even speaking that reminds me of the fruit of the Spirit. Right? The fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. These are not things that we work up in our own effort. These are things, they're fruit that comes from being connected to the vine. These are fruit that comes in our lives from being connected to the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, it's not by might. It's not by power. It's by the Holy Spirit. And in the same way, the same Holy Spirit that's going to cause the love of God to be shed abroad in our hearts, the same Holy Spirit that's going to fill us with the peace that passes all understanding, the same Holy Spirit that's going to fill us with joy unspeakable and full of glory, that same Holy Spirit is going to cause us to abound in hope. Again, God is the God of all hope. You and I are called to abound in hope. But we will do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Does that encourage you today? Does that challenge you today? I know it does for me. This is a season, guys, for us to go higher in hope. This is a season, even as we finish out 2020, we come into 2021, that we will go with our hope up high, our hope stirred up in Jesus' name. We are prisoners of hope. Now, I have one last thought to share with you out of this. It's actually a quote from a Bible teacher and theologian named Francis Frangipane, and he said this. Catch this, watch this. He said, any area of our lives that does not have glistening hope is under the influence of a lie. Now think about that for a second. I'm going to read it again, but think about it. He says, any area of our lives that does not have glistening hope is under the influence of a lie. Now let's just chew on this for a few moments as we bring this close, because we're talking about God's the God of hope. We're talking about how we're called to abound in hope. It's going to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. But I believe Francis Frangipane's quote here brings another angle to this as well. Because let's start here. If God is with us, if God has called us, if God's providing for us, if God has plans for our life to give us a future and a hope, If no weapon formed against us will prosper, and every tongue that rises against us in judgment will show the wrong, if he meets all of our needs according to his riches and glory, if we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, if he promises that even what the devil meant for evil, he's going to turn for good, if he promises that nothing's going to separate us from his love, why would we be hopeless? Why would we not have hope? Right? And it's interesting, because what I've noticed is I can have a lot of hope in certain areas of my life, but then in other areas of my life, I can really struggle with hope, and I can be hopeless, or I can just have very minimal levels of hope. Here's the key. When I know the truth, and the truth sets you free, right? When I see the truth clearly, I have hope, because that's the most logical thing to do. But when I believe a lie, that's when I do not have hope. And there's a really important principle here, guys. Because even if we go back to this verse we've been looking and meditating on today, it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Right? There's this key word, in believing. What do we believe? Because what we believe about God, what we believe about the promises of God, what we believe about what God said about us, about his plans for us, his future, that is going to be so connected to whether we are walking in hope or whether we are not. And so a little bit of some homework, if I could say it, for us this week. Look at any area of your life where you're hopeless. Look at any area of your life where you're struggling with hope. And I promise you, if you start digging around that area, you're going to realize, oh, there's a lie that I'm believing that's different than God's truth. Right? If I'm hopeless regarding healing, what lie have I believed more than by Jesus' stripes I'm healed? If there's a, if I'm hopeless regarding provision, right? Maybe God's promised you a house, or God's promised you that, you know, some breakthrough in your family, but I have no hope regarding that. What lie am I believing? Because if I will start to attack that lie with the truth of God's word, I'm going to find my hope level is going to rise, and it's going to grow, and it's just going to move forward. Why? Because the more that I believe God's truth and God's promises, right, in believing, the more I live in hope. But the more that I believe a lie, the more I live in hopelessness. Does that make sense for you today? I know it's a very practical close and a very practical finish to today's message, but take time this week and look at your life and say, where am I hopeless? Because those are areas that I'm believing a lie. Family, again, just in closing, I want to encourage us in this time. God is saying to us, listen, I'm getting ready in 2020 and 21, I'm getting ready to restore double. But he is calling us to be prisoners of hope. If you've been hopeless, if your hope has really been low, it is time, not in your own strength, but to receive a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit in your life. And I actually just want to pray that, and I want to speak that, and I want to prophesy that over your life today. Come on, just put yourself in a position to receive. You can hold your hands out like you're receiving something. I mean, raise your hands, get on your knees, whatever you feel like doing today, wherever you are. But I want to call you today to rise up in hope. I want to declare over your life in the name of Jesus that God, who is the God of hope, is filling you with joy and is filling you with peace. And even as you believe that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you abound in hope. We declare war today in Jesus' name on hopelessness. We declare war on the lies of the enemy that have trapped so many of us in hopelessness. We're not going to be prisoners of lies, but we are going to be prisoners of hope in Jesus' name. And I declare that over your life, that you will be a prisoner of hope in the name of Jesus. You will be filled with hope in Jesus' name. That we're walking in freedom. We're returning to our stronghold, right? Because when we're filled with hope, we are getting to a place of strength in God. Go to the stronghold. Come home to the Father in a fresh way today. But in the name of Jesus, you and I are filled with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that you just come right now, wherever we are, where I'm standing, where people are watching this, and fill us with hope. Fill us with hope by your power. And help us to see any area of our life where we are believing lies. Help us to see any area of our life where we have bought into a lie so that we can step forward in being people of hope. And so, Lord, we love you so much. We thank you for this today in Jesus' name. And everyone who agreed with me said, amen. Come on, somebody say, I'm rising up in hope. Come on, somebody declare, I'm a prisoner of hope. Come on, somebody say, I'm abounding in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Well, before we go and we finish up today, I wanted to remind you really quickly of a couple of things. First and foremost, if you are watching today, if you are tuning in and you are not right with God, I want to call you. I want to encourage you to get your life right with him. See, here's what the gospel is. The Bible teaches us that God loves us with everlasting love, but we've been separated from that love because of sin. Jesus came, he died, and he rose again to free us from sin. Because of sin, we deserve punishment. Because of sin, we deserved eternal judgment. I'm saying we. I'm in this one with you. I'm not pointing the finger. I'm talking about myself as well. Jesus came, he died and rose again to free us from sin. He came and he died and rose again to forgive us, to set us free, to transform our lives. But here's the key. We've got to receive that. It's kind of like Christmas. You know, I could give you a gift, but if you don't receive that gift, it's not going to do you any good. In the same way, he's got this gift of eternal life. We need to receive that gift. How do we receive that gift? We receive that gift by turning our back on sin and committing our lives to him. And so if you're watching today and you realize I need to give my life to Jesus, or you realize I need to give my life back to Jesus, I want to encourage you, just pray this prayer with me right now. Say, Jesus, thank you so much for your love for me. Thank you that you came for me. Thank you that you died for me. Thank you that you rose again for me. Today I turn my back on sin and I commit my life to you. You are my Lord. I believe that God raised you from the dead. And I thank you today that as I've prayed this prayer, that I'm forgiven, I'm free, I'm transformed. You have received me, and I'm now walking with you. In Jesus' name. And everyone agreed, said, amen. Awesome. Well, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, could you reach out to us and let us know? We would love to be able to get a Bible into your hands, to pray with you, to help you on this journey of faith. And so there's some information down below this video. Please make sure you fill it. Let us know. All right, well, we're bringing things to a close today. First off, I just want to make sure I give a quick reminder regarding our giving. You know, Christmas is a season of giving. It's an opportunity to give and to receive, and it's an amazing, amazing thing to give into the kingdom of God, to give and to sow. And so I want to thank each one of you for your faithfulness in giving. I want to thank you just as a church family, man. I'm so blessed by just the way our church continues to rally, and even with all that's going on, staying faithful in our tithes, staying faithful in our offerings. Even as we're believing God for double, let's believe for that double even in our giving. Let's believe for that double even in what God wants to do and what God has called us to. And so I want to encourage you in that. You can give, obviously, lots of options online. If you want to know how to give, just reach out and contact us. We can give you the details. But thank you for your giving. Let's keep pressing into giving. Let's finish 2020 strong, and let's believe God even as we come into 2021 for double of anything the enemy has stolen. All right, so it's been great to be together. We love you guys. God bless you.